Okay. Because if we play long enough, we're gonna get nowhere.
Okay.
Okay. I'm ready to begin. If you're ready to, you listen.
Ready.
Okay. Let's get started. We're gonna pick off with this. Today's shiur gonna have two parts. The first part's a continuation of Friday's shiur, and then we're gonna skip and come back to some other minyanim. There'll be much easier technical reasons for that way. Let's begin. There is an amazing idea in a tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein, but it's not printed in the Igros Moshes that we have, you know, in our camp. Maybe it's one of those later posthumous volumes, where Rav Moshe is discussing the question that we saw in the tshuva that we read, that we spoke about on Friday, or Rechayim Chelech Alam Sevekup Peivov, where Rav Moshe is trying to make sure that it's, you can be yotzei with an esrog, which you brought from Eretz Yisrael in Shemitah. One of the issues is, it's after the Zman HaBir, and according to some authorities, after the Zman HaBir, one may no longer eat the Esrog, and if one may not eat the Esrog, there's a problem of Ein Bo Het Derachila. Rav Moshe has an ingenious idea, since it's not true, there is a Het Derachila. All you have to do is bring it back to Eretz Yisrael. Even according to the Gra and the Raiva who say that if you exported Peiris to Chutzarts, they become prohibited to be eaten. They agree, if you bring it back to Eretz Yisrael, you may eat it there. And therefore, it has what we call a Het Derachila. There's a problem. There's a Rashi Masech Sukkah on the Flam and Dalam of the base, where Rashi tells us the Maiser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim does not have a Het Derachila. Why? Because right now, where you are, you may not eat it, even though you can bring it to Yerushalayim. So this Rashi seems to be against Rav Moshe's Yisod. Says Rav Moshe, no, it's not a kash against him. Why? In that case, fruits were grown somewhere in northern Israel, never saw Yerushalayim. They never had a Heter Achila. And therefore, since they have not reached Yerushalayim, one cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Esrog because ain't no Heter Achila. However, in the case we're describing, at one point in time, there actually was a Heter Achila, where the fruits were in Eretz Yisrael. Since they were in Eretz Yisrael, and they can be returned subsequently to Eretz Yisrael, therefore, it's okay. Now, the truth is, this Chiddush of Rav Moshe is against the Kapos Tamarin and the Aruch Haner, who seem to say he must have had the Rechila B'mkomo, but Rav Moshe nonetheless says it's so. Now Rav Moshe comes to the question of how is it permissible to export the Esrogim in the first place? You may recall the Tosfos in Masechta Pesachim, Nun Beis Amud Beis, which says it's only prohibited la'achila, but not to schorah. Well, the Chazon Ish couldn't believe it, he switched it around, but that's the text we have in Tosfos and Tosfos Rabbeinu Peres, Tosfos Rashi Shantz. So therefore, Rav Moshe says, no one is going to eat the esrog. The esrog is made to be also the mitzvah of Arba Minim. Of course, the question becomes, how is it possible to allow the person to fulfill the mitzvah of esrog? After all, the issue is, we don't understand why it should be so in the first place. In other words, what's trying to tell us? The comments along the Ritvaz says as follows. What is Schora Muteris? Schora Muteris is only a small amount of food. What's the small amount? Either what the Gemara says in the Aflama Testament, based in Sukkah, Bichadei Mon, which means only enough to eat for three Sudas, or perhaps it means, as we saw last week, enough to last for Yom and Mu'atim, perhaps even as much as a week. And therefore, it should come out. It all depends how much is being exported. If I'm exporting one esrog, should be no problem. One esrog is less than you need for three meals. If I export 1,000 esrogim, it's a major problem. The only possibility is to say, when you're exporting 1,000 esrogim, you need it for 1,000 different people. And every person's going to get only one esrog. That might be a possible heter. As a matter of fact, the same as Shmita Kilchasa by Rav Sternberg. He says it's only permissible to export one esrog at a time. Moreover, he says, it's preferred for the esrog to belong to the ultimate recipient while it's in Eretz Yisrael. So what should one do? One should make contact with an Esrig salesman, if you will, or someone who's asked one Esrig. Say, I want to buy one Esrig, and I would like you to sell it to me right now. But I'm not here. Find somebody to be Kona for me. Zoche la'adam shalom b'fana. And once the Esrig belongs to me, now I'm going to ask my friend to export me a total of one Esrig just for me, and this it would be permissible. Oh. Now the question becomes, what happened? So the Netziv tried to do this in the late 19th century. He said, please export me one Esrig, and the Esrig should belong to me from the beginning. He had a problem he calls Zman Avir. He didn't know what Zman Avir was, so he asked him Shmuel Salant, who was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. Shmuel Salant said this beer of an Esrig is in the month of Shvat. In the month of Shvat. Okay? So therefore the Netziv said, you know what? I'm going to eat it immediately. Right at the Sukkot, I'm going to eat up the Esrig. There should be no problem getting even close to the Zman Habir. It's interesting. Rav Sternberg writes that if you want to know when the Esrogim are rotted and are no longer available in the forests, fields, trees, it's well past Shvat. If on the other hand, you want to discuss Zman Habir is when they complete the harvesting of the Esrogim, that's very close to Sukkot. That's when the Netziv consumed it almost immediately after Yom. Rav Moshe has one more thing. Rav Moshe says, according to one opinion in the Rash, Perek Vav Mishnah Hey, Rav Moshe, I assume you have your Gemara in front of you. Let's open to the Rash, Perek Vav in the Sefer Shviyas, Mishnah Hey. See together what it says. Perek Vav Mishnah Hey, the Rash on our Mishnah. Hey, Motsin, Shem, Shem, Perek Shviyas, Me'orot, L'chutz L'orot. So we'll read the Rash together. The Rash is bothered by a number of questions. He wants to know. It says it's Mokom Shadog without the days that there's a question whether there is a prohibition in the first place. There may be a Bachokas Rebbe from first of Shimon ben Alosa, which we spoke about on Friday. According to one opinion, perhaps the Rash holds there's no Easter in the first place. So Rav Moshe adds that extra consideration, maybe there's no Isser in the first place. The Mishnah Yosef, who's critical of this tshuva, says, well, the Rash said that at the beginning, he raised the possibility that there is no prohibition whatsoever to export, but at the end of the day, he doesn't really accept it. And the truth is that the Melecha Shlomo on the Mishnah says, like Rav Moshe, and there's an opinion which says it's permissible, and that's how the Ridvaz says that as well, but the Pasal Shulchan says no. The Tosaf Pesachim Nun Beis says it's prohibited, and therefore it's only a Havamina. It's not really a Maskot. And therefore, Rav Moshe's bottom line is that those who rely on the so-called Halakat Mechira, one should not protest against it. Says the Mishnah Yosef, I want to protest against it, even though the farmers rely on the Halakat Mechira. The Shasat Chagodah. And the consumers who have nothing else to eat also rely on the Mechira. When it comes to the mitzvah of Esrig, get an Esrig somewhere else. Get an Esrig somewhere in from Chutz L'Arts. However, despite that line of Mishnah Yosef, the Chazanish explicitly says in Simon Yud Os Vav, with respect to Esrogim, that there's Ayesh Amid Islam. So therefore, Rav Moshe's position is confirmed. And now, Rav Moshe, let's spend a few minutes going back to the wisdom of the Sefer called Shmita Mamlachtit, where Rav Zev Weitman, I'm giving you the page numbers, you can look it up yourself at your convenience. On page 194, he says something which we already spoke about a little bit last week. What's the lumbus of the halacha of beer? Beer is an obligation to be mafkir. Be mafkir. In other words, for example, I took some fruit and I put it into my house. This in no way limits the ability of others to access Shemitah fruit. After all, there's still something left. If there's something left in the field, the fact that I'm holding on to the Paris in my house does not take away from the fact that the Paris fundamentally Hefker, because everybody can take whatever he wants from the field. But once it's called Lechayav Min HaSadeh, nothing left in the field, now I'm responsible to take whatever I have in my house and put it out to be mafker it. Why? So that everybody has an opportunity to have access to the fruits of Shvius. That's exactly why, as you learned last week, an Otz of Beis Din need not do beer, because Otz of Beis Din is precisely that. Everyone has equal access to the fruits of Shvius. Oh, and here he explains so beautifully, Weidner. Why is it a prohibition to export the fruits to Chutz Lars? Because if you do that, what is it going to help? You're going to do beer in Chutz Lars. So what are you going to do? You're going to take your fruits in Chutz Lars and put it out in the front yard. Whoever wants to take it, can take it. No! The whole point is to be able to support the people living in Eretz Yisrael. If I take my fruits to New York, and I put it outside of my yard, in front of my street, in front of my house, no one from Yerushalayim can come and get it. So therefore, it's pointless to do the beer in Chutz Lars. Wow, what a beautiful svara. And exactly, this svara comes back to Rav Dumper of a Rav, Rav Weidenfeld, in his Mishmeres Abayis, that the Iker Abir is the tachas of eating of the Aniyim in Eretz Yisrael. This being the case, he suggests that even after the beer, you may not export the fruits to Eretz Yisrael, because it says ba'artzuch alecho. It's true the Ritvaz said it's permissible after the beer, but it's not going to help because you can't keep the fruits fresh enough. Can't wait; they won't be fresh after the beer. They'll become spoiled. Now we come to the final brilliance of the Sefer Shemitah Mamachtit. He quotes a Gemara, which is on Yomar Mekomas, in the Sefer Baba Basra, Naftsadiyam and Beis, towards the bottom. There exists a prohibition of Chazal to export Peiros Sheyesh Mem Chaye Nefesh to Chutz Lars. He explains, nowadays, this prohibition is no longer followed. Why? To the contrary, if you will not export the fruits to Chutz Lars, going to make it worse for the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. They will not be able to earn a livelihood. Since it's going to make it worse, therefore we have a right to export. Suggests from Weidman, just as we follow this ruling with respect to the prohibition of Abashi of Tzadim and Beis at the bottom, Ein Motzi in Paris, Shulchai Nefesh Chutz Lars, we can do the same exact thing to be Matzah the Yisr of exporting of Paris Shavias. Because after all, as we just said before, the purpose of the prohibition of export is we want to give an opportunity for the people in Eretz Yisrael to have apple food products. The same thing as payments of Chaya Nefesh. Since we say that nowadays it's for the greater good of the Jewish community in Eretz Yisrael, it's permissible to export, because otherwise they will not survive economically. There's no issue of exporting payments of Chaya Nefesh. For the same exact reason, there should be no issue of exporting payments of Shavias nowadays. Because there too, if you're not going to export the Paris of Shvius, the Israeli economy will be in terrible danger. That's what he suggests. Fascinating. Now, the Ritvaz originally said, exporting Paris Shvius is an Issa D'oraisa. Issa D'oraisa, there's no way to be matter it. It's for the greater good of Klal Yisrael. It's some kind of intrinsic Issa D'oraisa. Not the same as parents of Chaya Nefesh of the year. At the end of the day, however, the Ritvaz backed out on page Ayin Dalim and Aleph in the Pasah Shulchan and says, no, it's an Iser Derabbanan. And therefore, Rav Weidman concludes on page 197, if you export the fruits early in the season, so that by the time this time of year comes, the will be gone, then it should be permissible. That's what he says. Now he quotes on page the idea of Tosis, fascinating. We never really got to understand why Tosis is making the law with respect to Schora and with respect to Achila. The first suggestion we made was it's not Schora versus Achila per se. It's that Schora Muteris has to be a very small amount. And assume it has to be a very small amount, let's assume it wasn't Gimel Sudas, which is the smallest of amounts. Less than that amount, you're not Chayav in beer. So it's the reason Schora Muteris is permissible is because it's too small of an amount to be muteris than to require beer. That was pshat number one. He has a different pshat, very interesting question. He recites a Mishnah in Shviyas, Perek Ches, Mishnah Aleph. He's open up. Perek Ches, Mishnah Aleph. Here it says as follows. Chol she'ena miyuchad lo lemacha odam, lo lemacha behema. Chol she'am odam, lo lemacha odam, lo lemacha behema. You give the chumers of both. Chol she'am odam, the eitzin, it's like eitzin. Can you find an amazing concept in this Mishnah? What a person thinks impacts upon the sanctity of the Peiros Shavuos. That being the case, is the following remarkable suggestion. If you planted fruits with the express intention of doing schora with them, of selling them, then they are in effect, quote, miyuad l'schora. And therefore, exporting is not a pigia in their Kedusha Shavuos, because on the contrary, it was meant for that. So too, as we find in the Mishnah Perakes, Mishnah Aleph. Now he comes this incredible psak. You can look it up in the Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Vav Simen Lamentes. David Paskin, as we spoke about this last time in the Rambam, where there's an obligation to guard Perish Shviyas from non-Jewish intruders. We suggested that the answer would be yes to that question. Comes and sits on the Ezer with another amazing thing. You want to make sure that fruits will in fact be there on the trees in Eretz Yisrael. Because as long as the fruits are on the trees in Eretz Yisrael, there's no chiyuv biur. And in order to save the exporters from sin, to save them from sin, we have to make sure that the trees are filled with fruits for a longer period of time as possible, so therefore the beer is extended. Now, of course, the problem is it's against the Mishnah. We're saying, oh, we have to watch it, but the Perek Ches Mishnah Dalet, as we saw already last week, Ochol al Mufkor, Havolol al Shavur. So how does it help that you've guarded the fruit? That's not going to help to postpone the time of beer, because fruits that are Mishumer don't extend the time of beer. That's an excellent question. An excellent question. Excellent question. Mishnah Yosef has a question. He'll tell me that it's beheter. Doesn't matter. Chazanish said, even if it's beheter, we got ochel al hasham. So therefore, he doesn't really have a good answer, save for the fact that if you have a, page 201, if you export fruits that you're nearly certain will be consumed before the Sovzman beer, even though in theory you can put it in a freezer, or you could pickle it, you could can it, etc., etc., we're not worried about a mir she'en amotu klal. And as such, you send it out early enough, it's room to be lenient. Not just that, but this idea of what you plant in order to do business with has a different EU destiny. The Maharsham says, quoted in the Mishmaris Labai's New Testament base, that whatever was planted with the explicit intention to be exported may in fact be exported. And therefore we suggest, he said it would spread the Paris of Chaye Nefesh. Now he suggested only with respect to that, but not with respect to Paris of Shvius. However, in the bottom, he quotes this from Eisen, quotes from Chaim Berlin, even Perish Shviyas may be exported in such a circumstance if they were planted with the express intention to export them. Okay, this is a very important yisod. Now, we're going to go off this topic a little bit. And I said today's shiur going to have a few different parts. Part two of the shiur discusses the question of whether you're allowed to cause Paris of Shviyas to be ruined. We mentioned last time that you're not ruined with your hands, but if you just let it rot, there's no violation. See, in the Maariv Makomos of Bosai, there is a Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says an expression, Me'alein Hein Avudin, Perek Tes Alach Alach. Me'alein Hein Avudin. It's going to rot by itself. It seems to indicate there's no problem with letting Shvi'is fruits rot. However, it's not so simple. That instance in the Yerushalmi is referring to Svichin. If you recall, Svichin are prohibited to be eaten in any event. Since you may not eat the Svichin in any event, there's nothing wrong dealing there to rot. However, other perish spheres, which you can consume, enjoy, perhaps there is no permissibility to let them rot. That's fascinating. As a matter of fact, Mikdash David is quoted as saying, you may not cause what's called Ram Hefsid Yadayim, and you have to even be proactive in preventing Perish Shvi'is from being exposed to some kind of unusual elements which may lead to their becoming rotten on their own. Only if they're going to be ruined on their own through a natural process. There's no need for us to go out of our way to prevent this normal process. For example, he says, you're not required to take fruits which are about to become ruined and either pickle them or do other something else to keep to preserve them. With respect to truma, you would be, because truma is mishmeres trumosai. You must guard it. But here, with respect to shvius, you may not ruin it, but there's no obligation to take extraordinary measures to prevent them from becoming rotted on their own. Remarkably, a proof that gram hefsid perish shvius is permissible is cited by the Ritvaz, but the fact that you are, as we saw last week, permitted to fulfill the mitzvah of Arba Minim with an esrog. So you hold on to an esrog. Every day you hold on to it and you shake it, things of this nature. We are taught in the Sefer Sukkah on the Flamen Hay Amid Beis. Why may one not use an esrog shel truma? You know why? Because it's nimeses v'nifsedes v'mishmush hayadayim. People are holding on to the esrog and they're holding it for quite a bit of time, and etc. etc. They're going to end up ruining it, damaging it somewhat, causing some kind of a hefsid. So therefore, we say that that applies to truma. It says mishmeres trumosa, as opposed to perish shvius. We are allowed to use perish shvius for esrog, probably minimum on sukkahs. Apparently, it's not a problem. On this basis, the poskim say you may give some of your perish shvius to a child, a young child. When young children eat, we all know, when they finish, the floor is dirty. Something is lost. That's how it is with children. You can't help it. So therefore, you may do that, even a little is going to be ruined. That's derech hatinok. That's derech hatinok. Now, others disagree, and they say, listen, if you hold on to an esrog, you're not really going to ruin it. Come on. Ruin it. Only with respect to truma, we say that, look, we should try to be careful and not be mevatel mitzvah say of esrog b'shvius for this reason. Truma you have to stay away from, because you're going to cause a little bit of damage. But for non-truma, it's permissible for the sake of a mitzvah. Okay? This being the case, sounds like what will happen if someone has two choices, the two esrogim, an esrog of Chutz Laretz, esrog of Eretz Yisrael. Sounds from this that you'd be, believe it or not, the esrog of Chutz Laretz would be preferred. Wow. I never heard of it. However, this statement comes from the Sefer Chidushin Bubiyurim, Nefesh of the Chazanish, and Lishita So, he paskins you're not permitted to give Shemitah food to a child, to a young child, who's going to ruin some of it. He's Lashita, so he's very strict when it comes to Perish Shvias. You may not give it to a child. You really shouldn't use it for an Esrog either if you have an alternative. He's very strict, but the Minig HaMakom is not like him. You're allowed to give it to a child and you don't have to look for something else. This is, as we said earlier. Okay? Now, also, speaking of causing something to get damaged, look at Perek Ches, Mishnah Zayin. Perek Ches, Mishnah Zayin, a mevashna yerek shal shviyas v'shemen shal truma shal yiviyen l'day psul Rabbi Shimon Matir. Don't cook the shviyas vegetable in oil of truma shal yiviyen l'day psul. What does that mean? What does it mean? Rambam says, if it will become tamei, if they burn the whole thing. You see clearly it will appear that Grav Hefsed is a problem. However, the Ritvaz says no, Grav Hefsed is not a problem. The issue over here is, if it becomes Tomei, if it becomes Tomei and Puzzle, you have to burn with your own hands. That's much more true. Okay, this is part two of today's shir. Now, third and final part of today's shir discusses Perek Ches Mishnah Beis. Please turn. Perek Ches Mishnah Beis. Shvius nitna l'achila v'lishtia v'lisicha lechol davar shadarko lechol v'losuch davar shadarko losuch v'lo yosuch yayin v'chovetz. Okay. Avol sochu es ha-shemen v'chein v'tshuma u'v'mais ha-sheini compared to Shvius kama yam Shvius shenitna l'hadlok asaner. What you may not do with respect to Truma Mais Hashanah, you may do with respect to Shvius, which is to use it as a source of lighting a candle. Okay. The Rambam, in fact, when he quotes this, I have my Rambam in front of me, Perek Hey, Halacha Beis, Menucha Shvita. Okay. La'achila v'lishtir ketzah. Lechol davar shadarko, lechol v'lishtos davar shadarko, lishtos kedin truma u'mais v'sheni. So he is an explicit comparison to truma u'mais v'sheni, and the Pasuk Shulchan says he got it from our Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? We just read the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Rabosai, what did the Mishnah say over here? Again, shvius nitna l'achila v'lishtia v'lisicha lechol davar shadarko lechol, lishtos davar shadarko lechol, v'yosuch shiayin v'chomash avosokho v'sashemem. And it says, "V'chein b'truma ma'as hasheni, kamehem shviyas shenitna lahadlok asaner." That's the one and only difference between shviyas and truma ma'as hasheni. And therefore, we understand very well what the problem is over here in the situation of ma'as hasheni and truma. It's based on this mishnah. Only distinction is with respect to hadlok asaner. Otherwise, they are identical. And we turn to halacha gimel. You may not change it from the natural state by shvius as by truma tzemaisus. Davar shadarko lechol chai lo yechol osu mevushel. V'davar shadarko lechol mevushel ein ochel osu chai. Right? You can't have what's normally raw. You have to eat it raw and not cooked. It's normally cooked. You have to eat it cooked, not raw. V'fichach ein sholgin ochlei behema. You may not cook animal food. This may not be done. May not be done. Fine. Question. May one take a Shemitah fruit and squeeze it so that the juice is not going to be consumed? So, in Hilchos Trumas, take a look at Hilchos Trumas, please. Perik Yud Aleph, Halacha Beis. Rambam writes, Perik Yud Aleph, Halacha Beis. You know what it says together? It says, Ein osin tmorim dvash lo tapuchim yayin lo peres and stuff chometz. V'chein shakal ha-peres ein mishan osin v'briyosan v'truma. Chutz mizeisim anovim milvad. All the only official drinks the Torah sanctions. Anything else is not called halachli drink. It's called zeya bialma. A language that's found in the Sefer Pesachim and Avchav Dal. Zeya bialma. So therefore, if it's Zeya B'Alma, it's a major problem. You may not squeeze any fruits. Comes of Chaim Kanievsky in Tzir Halacha, Sitkot Yudalim, and suggests that, you know, there are other fruits that you may squeeze. What are they? Estric, a lemon, a grapefruit. But these are normally squeezed. And the question is, how do you decide normal? Big discussion there. Do you need that the majority of the with these fruits respectively are in fact squeezed and sold to consumers? Or is it sufficient, you know, the majority are eaten without having been squeezed first? But perhaps since you have most people who will occasionally squeeze this fruit and utilize the juice, this itself should be considered noteworthy. This is the question. This is the question. And the Chazanish goes back and forth on this. Maybe not even the majority of the oranges should be used for orange juice. It's enough that most people at one point in time like to drink orange juice. Perhaps similar shayla exists, Rabosai, in Hilchos Brachos. Hilchos Brachos, that's what we'll see, so the sugyas. Okay? The question of bracha is relevant. A Gevor creates or not? Here's a question. What about oranges? Apparently he's working with an assumption that the most of the oranges were made for the juice. Most! The most meant for the juice, it should be okay. This is something which is very, very important. We'll get to some of the details a little bit later today and get a little bit more tomorrow. Now the question, Rabosai, if you may not squeeze fruits to be able to make liquids, may you take liquids and convert them to salads from the freezer? See, Paskins, no. No. You may not do so. Because you've changed it from a liquid to a salad. Even that's a problem. This was quoted, Rabosai. This psak is not my own psak. It's Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan says that the reason why we have to keep it in its original state is based on a pasuk. What does it say in the pasuk? Kodesh Tiyo Lechem. Vayoga. Kodesh Kibah Vayoset Tehei. That's in Russia. Professor Stomeo. And it's the Kedusha. The same pasuk. So you ask, it must change. It must stay in the same place without changing. Kodesh Tiyo Lechem. So writes Aruch HaShulchan Sim Chavdalim Siv Gimel. Okay? Therefore, Rav Osai in Sibches, he says, the same way as you may not convert a solid into a liquid, you may not convert a liquid into a solid. The same thing? Same thing, it's a change. Chaim Kanievsky calls him Eliyashiv, who is maker. Why is he maker? Because if Eliyashiv holds, quoted by Chaim in his Kibbutz Derech Emunah Sukkot in your test, that the Easter of Shinui is based upon Lachila Velo Lehefsin. Take a look here in the Rashi, now Mishnah. Perek Ches, Mishnah Beis. It's a little bit tricky to see what he really means. Second, please. Hold on. Perek Ches, Mishnah Beis. The Rashi has a whole discussion. Let's read the Rashi together. We'll take the Rashi from the beginning. Perek Ches, Mishnah Beis. He starts right away with a Yerushalmi. A mechayven also lecha lo kniva aserek v'lo pas sheyipsha v'lo tavshu v'niskalko tzeroso. You're not obligated to get sick and eat something which is not edible. V'chein hu shebikesh lecha terodim chayim av lochus chitim chayos ein shamala. On the other hand, to create it into a lower state, we don't listen to you. It's a contradiction. First we say we don't tell you to buy the Knivas Yerek. We just let it be. And now we say you want to do this product this action to put aleyu. So you need davar shadag lishtos and the chayvar also lishtos a nigro. Okay. Etc. Says the Rabbeinu Shimshon as follows. Watch. Knivas Yerim, I have the old edition now, the second wide line. Mashaposkim in a Yerim, Kori Kniva. Well, you cut off, it's called the Kniva. Lashon Bishiyach, so be a Kanev, it's in Kalim somewhere. Okay. Vieshmikan Raya, about a pot. In the Ben Yom, we're not going to that right now. Then he says, hold on a second, please. In discussing this issue, Rabbi Osai, discussing this serious question, you want to know what's the basis for all these things. So, hold on, I gotta get the right place. The idea we just saw, let's read the Rishami again. Where we saw the Rishami? Rishami says, talks about eating what they call here Turodin. In a raw state. In a raw state. Now, it's interesting. There, it's normally cooked, and the person's eating it raw, and the Rashi seems to say as follows. He says, quote, Kohani da asiri midikos of la'ochlo v'lo lehefset. The reason for these dinim is la'achla v'lo lehefset. The question becomes, what is it going on? What is it going on? So it's maybe this going on everything. All the changes that a person may make would have the same potential isur and potential heter. So we're suggesting over here that when it says over here that a person in other words, something which is normally eaten raw, you should cook it, you should eat of this nature. So therefore we suggest that perhaps in such a circumstance it's based on the achla below the hefset. Alright, we're about to take a look and see. In my edition, it's the fourth wide line here in Perek Ches Mishnah Breaks. Kolhani da asiri min the kosev ayikra chapei la'ochla v'lo lehefset. What does it mean, kolhani? What does kolhani mean? What does kolhani mean? So, there are those who claim it's going on everything. Even to take something which is a solid and make it into a liquid is also a problem of la'ochla v'lo lehefset. On that basis, we can argue, Rabbosai, we can argue that if you take from a solid and make it into a liquid, if you take a liquid and make it into a solid, oh, solid's on a higher level. Rabbi Yashin quotes the Gemara Chul Daf Kuf Chof. Hikfas Adam v'acholo chayov. A person took blood and he congealed it. And he ate it. He's kind of made it even more important. And machal is halachically considered a higher level of food than is mashke. So that's a fascinating idea. So therefore the question will be, according to Rabbi Yashiv, there's no problem with making a liquid into a salad against the Aruch Hashul. Because a salad is a higher level than is a that is a liquid. So that's the question. What's the chat over here? Is it some separate din? Or is this a matter of hefset? Others say against this, Nakuda. It's an independent prohibition. Take a look at both, they bring an interesting ride. Again, it's chazer again. is an independent prohibition of changing something from liquid to solid, solid to liquid, ordinarily cooked, ordinarily eaten, and vice versa, or it's just a matter of hefsek. So a fascinating raya is brought by both sides from a Tosefta, Pera Gimel, Halacha Yud Gimel. These all turn to the Tosefta, Shvius, Pera Gimel, Halacha Yud Gimel. Here we go. Pagin Shalerev Shvius, and Cholk and also Bishvius. What's this mean? What does it mean? What does pagan mean? What does pagan mean? Pagan means immature pigs. Immature, they haven't been fully grown. It's immature, it's premature, you know. In Eretz Yisrael, the preemie unit in the hospital is called a pagia. Because a child born premature is called a pag. It's the same phrase over here, it's been used over here with respect to fruits that are not, that are in effect premature. There, what's wrong, Rabbi Osai, with being mevashel pagei shvius? We don't understand. So over here, again, in Perek Gimel. Halacha Yud Gimel in Tosefta, the proper girsa is pagin shal erem shvius ein shulkin oslam shvius, not cholkin. Should be shulkin. You look at the new Gemara, it says shulkin. Why? If the only problem is that of making it from better to worse, here it's a pag. It's not so great as it stands either. So what's wrong with cooking it? Why is it a prohibition? Why is it a prohibition? You see, klar, it's a separate issur. It's not merely a matter of l'ochla below the hefsek. However, it seems to me, one can, in fact, reject this. Why? Take a look in the Minchas Bikurim. Hagin shal shvius and shokin garcina. Hagin ushadayin on his bashlu, eimavashlin, with the parish shvius and the shanin mibriyasa. Bekevan sheyachol lahamtin at sheyimru, ein levashlam, rabosai. Don't cook them now when they're premature. Wait till they ripen and then if you want you can cook them. So Rabosa, even though right now it may not be a hefsid to cook, and that's why some say it's an independent prohibition, not to do with hefsid, wrong! It is a hefsid here as well. Not a hefsid of the present pre, but a hefsid of the potential of what could have been. And therefore that's considered to perhaps to be under the general concept of hefsid, as not an independent prohibition whatsoever. So Kamsa is a tachas, halacha levais. Chaim Kanievsky talks about Shemitah wine for Havdalah. Havdalah is a very widespread custom. Based on Ramah, you fill up the cup of Havdalah to the top and let them spill over. Rav Chaim says, not if you're using Shemitah wine. You're not allowed to do that. Some take the Shemitah wine, the Havdalah wine, and put it into their eyes, into their pockets. Not Shemitah wine. Some actually put the candle out by putting it into the wine, if I'm done, now I do it. Some spill off on the Seder night, Davos for there, not Seder wine. How do you like that? Something interesting. I just saw, I had a bottle of wine in my hand on Friday, trying to give some gifts of wine to some people where I was staying, and it says, Peiris Shvius, Otsa Bezdin. So these things really exist. Don't think that it's something which is theoretical. Literally, it's set on a pair of shvius and with also best. So these things do exist. So you would not be able to use it for the Abdullah, to spill it over for the Seder night, which is very relevant, of course, for wine, because people do these things usually. Rabbi Yashin went further than that. You have oil. The oil is also something which people use to eat. Sure, oil could be a salad dressing. It could be used many things. But some people use oil merely to grease the pan so things shouldn't stick and burn. This is a liyashiv, not allowed. Not allowed. You're using the shemen inappropriately. Oh. Now we come to the most difficult part of today's shiur. Well, that's pretty easy. That's as follows. May you crush a vegetable or fruit in a manner which is normally crushed. Fascinating. Kamsa Chazanishin says something which is normally crushed, you may crush. He gives examples. A banana, a tomato, a potato, carrots, apples. You do this nature. The problem, I'm all saying. The Chazanish himself was in doubt, based upon the Gemara in the Sechta Brachas, which will come to us. That's the most important part of the today, end of today's year. Whether you're permitted to change states only if the majority of that particular item is used for juice. For example, oranges. Some oranges are juice oranges. Most of these oranges are used for juice. Then it might be permissible. But what will happen to plain orange? A regular orange, more oranges are eaten than are used to make juice. But overall, people use juice one time or another on juice. That's a question. You need a robe. What robe? A robe of the fruits to be used for juice, or a robe of the people to occasionally use fruits to make juice. And the Chazanish has a suffix, goes back and forth on this topic. And the question, of course, becomes, why, over here, is he saying that as long as some people crush it up, it's okay? Justin, what do you think? Are more bananas eaten crushed, or more bananas eaten without being crushed? I don't hear your voice. Yes or no? What do you think?
Not crushed.
That's what I thought. So how can the Chazanish allow crushed bananas? Perhaps he drew a distinction between the change of crushing, which is not such a dramatic change, and a change of squeezing, which is a dramatic change from solid to a liquid. The solid to a liquid is a much more profound change, and therefore he says that it would not be permitted unless actually the majority of that particular kind of fruit is used for a state of juice. And it's interesting on both sides. If you look in the Derech Amunah of Chaim Kanievsky and Truman, Perek Gedal Halacha Beis, Shemkot Chapalas, and the Machlekes, may you crush it and pulverize it completely? Some say no. And the Chazanish, Shviyah Simon Chapei, Shemkot Lamed Beis, said yes. He said, you know, it depends upon the Chazanish, the Machlekes and Hilchos Brachas. Yes, I kid you not. Brachas. Maybe familiar with the fact that the Machlekes, for example, are brachas they get an applesauce. So, what brachas do you make? The Mechaber says, or a break. Ramon suggests perhaps you should make a shahakol near the Dvara. Then if Chaim calls his father says, even if the brachas are pre-orate, it may still be prohibited to crush true. Again, the Gemara. That's our finally, the final source today is the Gemara in the Sech, the Brachas, Taflam, and Tessabarah. Yep, if you have a Gemara, please turn. I'll read it to you slowly.
Rebbe?
Yes.
We couldn't hear perfect what the last sentence. Can Rebbe repeat back the applesauce topic?
Yes.
Please?
Yeah, sure, I'll do. Sure. Because the machlokas, what brachas do you make an applesauce? Do you make a bar for eight an applesauce? Or do you make a shakal near the dvara? So the chorah, if you make a bar for eight, you can take truma and make it into applesauce. If you make a shakal, you may not. Where does this come from? The Gemara of the Septa Brachas, I don't know if you all have brachas in front of you, I have mine. I'm reading to the Gemara of the Septa Brachas on the ASVC. Adaf lam is ches, omud al. Gemara says over here at the 10th line, if I do should the tamri, the brochas and the lay, shakal the yavikoro, my timer, zeya ba'amahu. Not a real representation of the fruit. It's mere sweat. If it's mere sweat, the brochas is shakal. Kemal kai tana the tanat, and they call the mission, believe it or not, in the trumas. Pregnant out, Christian base. There's a quick linkage between brochas and truma. Rabbi Yeshua Potter, he
you know, Truma, if you have it, so okay, get Karen Kovach. That's if you have it in the original thing. What happens if you squeeze it into this juice and then you have it? The machlok is hatanoim. Are you chayav Karen Kovach or are you putter from Karen Kovach? So the same Abba Zakar of Yeshua that you are in fact putter. You're putter of both. Says Rashi, and Yeshua put there. The same Abba. The ancient Truma Chalalov. The only two officially recognized drinks that represent the give the expression of the mother fruit from which they came, are only wine and olive oil, and represent grapes and olives respectively. Any other juice, whether it be apple juice, orange juice, whatever it may be, does not represent the original three with two results. Number one, chocolate even tomorrow. And number two, if you eat truma, you put it from Karen the Chomesh. That being the case, you get an impression that the fruit is not still extant in its original form. And just as you are not Karen the Chomesh if you drink it, you would presumably not be permitted to create this drink in the first place. Because if you create this drink, you are taking the original truma item, and you're making it into a Zeyav Alma, into a non-true item, which would presumably be, in fact, prohibited. We're not done yet. A little bit further than the Gemara. The Gemara says, Haitami shall truma, mutal asosven shrima. You can't make shecha, you can't make beer, but you can make shrima. What is shrima? Rashi says, Trima Malu, Malu Vorkin Alav, the shame Trima, this is a critical Rashi, called Dover Hakosu Shad, the Eino Merusa. Rashi says, the Trima is not completely pulverized. So the Gemara says, you may make it the Trima, the Hilkos, the Tamri, Vavidinu Trima, the Vorkin Alayu, Bori, Priyoe, by Taima, exactly the point. It works both ways. It retains its status, and you therefore may take a fruit and make it into Trima. And for that very same reason, you may make a boy create on Trima. You see a clear linkage between the laws of Brachas and the laws of Truma. That being the case, that we may not take a fruit and If we make a shahakal yibivaro on juices, what should emerge is we're not permitted to take these fruits and make them into juices, shviz or truma, because it's connected to the bracha situation. That's what it would appear. Goes hall b'hotalia. Comes the stifler and says, no. It could be a case where the bracha is boring priorates, and it's still prohibited to crush truma. The Gemara that links the two means only as follows, that the fact that it's not mishtana legreusa, it's not mishtana legreusa was called the veratic tas, as the Rashi said. Rashi said, truma is what? A kosher tas, the eno merusa. Says the stifler, you see from there that it's not considered the shtan of the greyusa. Why, Rabbon says? Why? If you can make it into trima, get the expression, like the galatiana. You make it truma into trima. Okay? One's with a top, one's with a test. But the fact that you can do that shows it's not considered to be nishtani legreusa. Oh, that's okay. That's a good comparison. But that's a little bit more means to compare to the stifler. What will happen if you crush it up completely, totally pulverized? It's a separate violation. Raposa, it's so critical. It's a separate violation of Mishana Nibriyoso, of changing the state completely. It's a separate prohibition. A separate prohibition, Raposa, having nothing to do whatsoever with Brahma. What's the riot? You can have the proper bracha of boring for eight and still be prohibited to crush it. into that floor. That's exactly the chiddush of the Kehilas Yaakov. Where do you get presents for this? This is presents, amazing. Toast over here. Hi, this is the time of the Shaco. The Chaymas can be common in payments by Mithir Shitter, then for olive oil and for wine. La Fuke me halachas gedolos. What did he say? Shapiris the Mairi Shadnos and the Sochas Mayim. Oh, whole loop shot. The Balachas gedolos says, you added the water, you diluted it. That includes this bracha. But if you did not dilute it with water, it maintains its bracha. Very nice to maintain its bracha. Does that mean you're therefore allowed to, you're allowed to take the tamarin and make him into dvash?
Rebbe?
Rebbe.
No. Maybe can I help Rebbe?
Great call.
Well, now he probably
realizes.
It takes a while.
Hello?
Hi, okay. Hi,
we're back?
Yeah,
we're back. We're having the she in 3 minutes.
Okay, we're back. We're good.
Let's just finish the last 3 minutes. Okay, 3 minutes, not more. In Trumas, we're both side. In Perek, Yud, Aleph. We sef the Trumas. Mishnah Gimel. The first four words. Ein osin tmarim dvash. I'm going to be one of the Baal Alochas Gedolos. If you don't dilute it, the bracha is, do you hear me? Do you see me?
We can hear you. Yeah, we can hear.
Could we go
okay, don't hear me. Almost finished. So it's clearly that you're not allowed to make the tmarim dvash. Even though called it a Baal Alochas Gedolos, the bracha is bar parades. Oh. What's the question becomes? The question becomes, apparently the Isra's only Mishnah have said it. And if it's not called the Shtana the Kwe Yusa, as far as Bracha is concerned, why should it be prohibited in Luchas Trumas? Because of Chaim Kanievsky, the reason it is, must be a Xera de Rabbanon. This is not considered the Shtana the Kwe Yusa, but it's bordering on it. And therefore, they made a Xera de Rabbanon not to do it with respect to Trumas. Our final point for today is the Ramban and Chul and Kufka. Ramban and Chul and Kufka has the following Kiddush. The whole discussion here in the Sugya, things such as apples. Make an apple into apple juice. You make an apple into apple juice, there's plenty of apple left. You squeeze out the juice, but there's plenty left. However, what will happen, you take, do you hear me?
Yeah.
You take an orange. An orange is different than an apple. Why? Because an orange, when you squeeze it, there's nothing left. The Ramban goes into Tosef, to the Ma'aseh Sheni, and that's permissible. Guess what? As the Chaim Kanievsky writes there, the Chavanish didn't have a Ramban in Chulin. He thought of it on his own. The same thing. And therefore, the Chasnish Paskin is permissible to make orange juice on Shvius, it's pair of Shvius, because the entire orange comes into the juice. Apple juice is much more problematic. I have to tell you that it's theoretically possible that orange juice is made from oranges which are used primarily for juice. The bracha would be borei parets, believe it or not. And the fact that none of us makes the borei parets on orange juice doesn't necessarily carry the day. Because Tosis is over here, the same Tosis on the Lamed Chesam and Aleph. Tosis says, Sheikha Didan, our beer. Why don't we make a Bore Mine Gizonos? We only make a Shahako. So, just a few reasons. It's only a Tabi Alma. Or, you can use the wheat to make per bread. The last terrace. Yo, Vishtia Ome Shahako. That's what he's apparently passing. Shtia, whatever you drink is automatically Shahako. That's the case, gentlemen. It has nothing to do with all these clones here in the Sugar that Vlad of Chesed was. The Shadow that we use, not the Shadow of Yusuf. Whatever you drink is automatically a Shahakal, the sole exception of wine and perhaps oil, because they are recognized drinks that the Torah speaks about explicitly. Other than that, Rabosai would be Shahakal. So, in theory, were it not for this Tosis, some folks will go against the Tosis, oranges would be a 8, maybe even apples would be a 8. So, then we cannot bring a rack at the time that we make Shahakal.
that will be prohibited on Shkis. Rav Moshe will stop here. Thank you for your forbearance and cooperation. Hope to be able to see, say Shia tomorrow in person. Thank you very much.
What's the name? What's the name?
Ezra.
Ezra.
Okay. Shame you're fat.